1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God, without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Heavenly Father, thank you for the honor, the privilege to read your Bible, and Lord, for the preciousness of these words. And Lord, as we conclude, dear God, our missions emphasis month, Lord, I thank you for all that you've accomplished in our hearts. Lord, I pray as a result of what you've done in our midst this month, dear God, and the increased giving and sacrifice, not only to help support missionaries abroad, but also, Lord, within our own Jerusalem and Judea. I pray, Lord, that in the days and weeks and months ahead, Lord, fruit may abound because of the time we've taken, Lord. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I kicked off the month on a Sunday night preaching on the what I call the both philosophy of missions. And of course, we take that out of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And so we stopped a minute and we identified our mission. I believe, and I'll say it again, I want to say it often, that a small town church can and should have a worldwide impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. What a challenge. That little word "both" there. God says, "I want you to be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem." So I want you to influence Jerusalem with the gospel. But simultaneously, while you're doing that, I want you to also impact your Judea. And while you're doing that, I want you to impact your Samaria. And while you're doing that, I want you to go all the way around the globe and touch all parts of the world. And folks, it's not that we can do everything, but we can do some things. And we ought to influence all of those areas. And by the way, if we're doing it and every other Bible preaching church is doing that, then you know what? God can work it all together and get the gospel where it needs to be gotten to. And so that's God's plan. And that's the vision here. Now let me stop and help you with this, okay? Because if you take a moment and you really step back and you begin to analyze the full scope of the ministries here, if you begin to look at what your pastor does both personally and in the leadership of our church and what we encourages us to do, you can take almost anything and everything that we do and you can slot it in one of these four areas. You know what? We're doing that to impact our Jerusalem. We're doing that to impact our Judea. We're doing that to impact our Samaria. We're doing that to impact our uttermost. Or we could put it this way. You know what? We're doing that to influence the 25-mile radius circle that we've claimed as our Jerusalem. That's what that's about. That's what those ministries are about. That's what that effort's about. That's why that money's spent there. Or we are doing this to influence and impact Southern Indiana. And like I said, let me say this, folks. We need to have a burden for Southern Indiana. Or we're doing that so we can impact our nation. Or we're doing that so that we can impact the world. And if you really put everything that's done here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you're going to find that this philosophy is just not something that's preached once a year, but is lived out, and it dictates every plan and all that we do around here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, let me say this, and this is where I want to go with this tonight. You know what? Just as God has set a plan to have a church like Blessed Hope Baptist Church, a small town church, even as it is God's will that we have a worldwide impact in all of these areas, you know what? Satan is just determined to try to do all he can to see to it that we do not carry out this plan. Now, there's a very interesting verse that's we found in our reading here, verse number 18. Direct your attention back to it. Wherefore, we would have come unto you. Now, who's writing this? Well, God's using the Apostle Paul to write this. Even I, Paul, who is a missionary. And he says this, wherefore, we would have come unto you. Even I, Paul, once and again. Notice the next phrase here, but Satan hindered us. Now, folks, listen to me. Just as we can lay out God's plan to evangelize the world, if you want to flip that coin over, it's pretty easy if you begin to look at it and recognize that everything the devil does is to try to stop the church of Jesus Christ in, number one, impacting its Jerusalem with the gospel. Number two, impacting southern Indiana with the gospel. Number three, impacting America with the gospel. Number four, impacting the world with the gospel. Just like the Lord has publicized and proclaimed his plan, the devil, the enemy of the gospel, begins to look at all of these areas and every single church in America, and he's got his sights set on Blessed Hope Baptist Church. What can I do to hinder them from reaching their Jerusalem? What can I do to hinder them from impacting outside of their Jerusalem in the surrounding communities and across Indiana? What can I do to prevent them from having any kind of a national impact, and what can I do to try to stop them from touching the world? Folks, just like our battle plan to get the gospel is laid out, we can also then begin to identify what the devil's doing. Now listen, I'm going to give you great wisdom here if you'll take it tonight. Just like I said, everything that we do around here can be traced back to trying to impact one of these four areas. I promise you, everything the devil does, everything the devil does has as its ultimate goal to prevent Christians and prevent churches from impacting these four areas. You may think that what's going on and the attack that's going on in your life has nothing to do with it, but it does. Okay, but it does. And you know what? If the devil can neutralize, and that's a very important word, think about that. If he can neutralize an individual's impact for the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel in those four areas, you may be living, you may be breathing, you may be saved, but you know what? He's won. He can't take your salvation back. That was plan A, to keep you from being saved. So he lost that. So you know what plan B is? All right. I didn't keep them from getting saved. I couldn't stop that, but I can stop them from ever impacting anybody else with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil looks at an individual, and that's his game plan, okay? He wants to get into all of you young men's life, all you young ladies' life, all your young couples' life, and what he wants to do, every single one of us, he wants to say, what do I need to do to get them so distracted and so entangled with the world and let bitterness come in or whatever? How do I neutralize them so that even though I can't take their salvation away from them, I've basically put them in a situation where they're no threat to me and no threat to the people that are lost that are still my children. Now, that's what he does for an individual. Now, watch this. I promise you this is true. Every single thing that the devil does in the church of Jesus Christ to try to cause division and confusion and you may not think it has anything to do with this, but it has everything to do with this. Everything to do with this. So I'm gonna pull the curtain back. I'm gonna expose old smutty face tonight. I'm gonna let you see that there's some things that he's doing and is gonna try to do and gonna continue to try to do so that he gets Blessed Hope Baptist Church to the point where we have no impact in this community. We can have no impact across southern Indiana. We can have no impact in the world. You know, folks, this is the honest truth. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of churches spread across this country that at one time was having a worldwide impact, and you know what? They're just a festering sore on the body of Christ right now. They have been neutralized. Everything they used to do to get the gospel out, they basically do nothing. It's nothing more than a gathering place of a bunch of disgruntled people that have lost totally lost the vision of what this whole thing is all about. They think they're still having church, but they ain't having church. I mean, the devil can take the lowest, weakest imp of hell and have him just guard the door and make sure nothing changes, and it doesn't take a whole lot. I mean, they're done, they're down. Why did they let that happen? Boy, I don't want that to happen at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I don't want that to happen. And so we're going to expose the devil tonight. We're going to show you how he does this. I'm going to give you our church some reminders. As we have already learned, the local church has a responsibility to have a fourfold impact for Christ. The devil understands this fourfold philosophy and will try to fight worldwide missions on every front. Here is a breakdown of how Satan seeks to hinder the spreading of the gospel in each of these areas. Number one, our Jerusalem. How about a church's home area? Satan, what's he doing, preacher? How does he prevent us from having an impact in our Jerusalem? Watch this. Satan will seek to change the focus of the local assembly. Now, I've got a lot to cover, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on all of them, but I'm going to give you a lot of things if you'll listen. Please listen to the Holy Spirit in your life. He's going to try to get Blessed Hope Baptist Church to begin to look inwardly instead of outwardly. Instead of focusing on the need to reach the lost with the gospel, Satan will try to get people to focus on their own desires, their own pleasures, their own problems. You know how many people are leaving good Bible preaching, soul winning churches because they have decided they'd like to go to a church where the theme, instead of it being go ye, the theme is entertain me. Instead of go ye, it's entertain me. Now, you know what, folks, if you look around here, we do some things just for fellowship. And you know what, that's an important, that's a biblical base part of the assembly, and it's an important part. And you know what, everybody needs to have family time. Even a church family ought to have some family time every once in a while. But folks, that's not the focus of what we do around here. That is not the focus. And the focus has to be, listen, don't get tired of hearing your preacher preach on soul winning. Don't get tired of, don't get upset because your preacher keeps prodding you if you've kind of gotten off the soul winning circuit, okay? You've checked out of the visitation program. You're no longer involved. You know what? I'm going to irritate you. I'm supposed to irritate you. How dare you? Get out there, get busy, get involved, find a place, plug in. Because let me ask you a question. Come on. Has Satan neutralized you when it comes to having an impact in your Jerusalem? So Satan's going to try to change the focus of the church. Number two, Satan will try to convince church members that ye does not mean me. When it says go ye, that doesn't mean me. Yes, it does. Soul winning visitation should be viewed as the responsibility of every church member. Listen to this. If you used to go soul winning and you don't anymore, let me just explain something to you. In that area of your life, you are backslidden. Let me say it again. You are backslidden in that area of your life. That means that you need to come to an old-fashioned altar. That means you need to look at it as what it is, sin. That means you need to repent of that sin and get that thing straightened out in your life. Because, folks, what the devil's done is he's neutralized you. If church members can begin to justify in their minds why they are exempt to the Great Commission, then the home area, the Jerusalem, will never be impacted by the gospel the way it ought to be impacted. Number three, Satan will try to cripple the church through personal agendas and petty divisions. Before 3,000 people were saved on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, we see 120 Christians praying for 10 days, here's the phrase, in one accord. When people involve themselves in rebellion against the pastor or unscriptural divisions in the congregation, they distract from the main purpose of the church, the reaching of lost souls. Be careful what you, church, I'm going to blow the trumpet again. Be careful what you let yourself get caught up in. I mean, if what you're excited about, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, is the latest gossip, or the latest murmurings, or the latest complainings. If you are beginning to segment yourself with other complainers and murmurs, let me tell you what you may think, preacher, it has nothing to do with worldwide missions. It has everything to do with worldwide mission. Don't you let the devil get you involved in that nonsense. Be more spiritual than that. Satan wants to cool off the fervency of the pulpit. And folks, listen to me. You're blessed to have a pastor who preaches without fear or favor and won't let you off the hook. You won't let you off the hook when it comes to this. Listen, you ought to support me in this. You ought to support me in this. You know what? Go out the door, say amen, say oh me, whatever you have to say, but say keep on preaching it, preacher. A pastor must preach passionately on the responsibility of the church to win souls. When that kind of preaching stops, you know what you see? You see a church begin to cool off. Satan wants to create, number five, Satan wants to create a lukewarm environment through compromise. Now listen, folks, and you're just going to have to trust your preacher. I know what I'm talking about here. A church who will not, when a group of people decide they will no longer live a separated life for Christ, I promise you the first thing that goes after separation is soul winning. I guarantee you the first thing that goes after separation is soul winning. And you watch people begin to drop standards, change standards, live like the world, dress like the world, act like the world. You know what? Pretty soon they get real mum mouth about the gospel. You know why? Because their life don't stack up against their message. And so you know what? They quiet down. So again, listen, folks, let's just stay an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church, separatist, holy living. Let's just do all the things we've always done and stand for all the things we've always stood for. Why? Why, preacher? Why? Here's the reason why. Because we're trying to reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's our Jerusalem, folks. That's Satan's strategy for trying to get any church from reaching their Jerusalem. What about our Judea, our church's regional area here? What about southern Indiana? How does the devil keep churches from looking past the borders of their Jerusalem and getting a burden and a concern for their Judea? Number one, let me give you some thoughts. Satan will work to foster a selfish attitude amongst the assemblies. The idea of investing our time or resources in helping another church grow or encouraging another church or helping another church reach their area for a while, it's foreign thinking to most assemblies. It is. Too many churches have this unscriptural philosophy: if it doesn't put a dollar in our plate or a body in our pew, we don't have time for it. And let me say something, that's wrong. You can't go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and put your finger on that verse and somehow say, okay, Jerusalem, uttermost. That's the only two things mentioned. And a lot of churches are trying to reach their Jerusalem, and they'll pay foreign missionaries to go to the uttermost, but they have no concern about their surrounding area. And we cannot, listen, God's not going to let us off the hook on this. Now be careful, folks, that you don't fall into that, all right? Fall into that. Be careful that you're not the member, look up here, that begins to murmur every time we spend some money outside of our Jerusalem. Investing in this church plant, investing in other church plants, investing in Judea Project, investing in encouraging other ministries within our region. You don't understand. I promise you, I don't think anybody here has a full understanding of this, quite like I do. But I'm telling you, all across southern Indiana, let me tell you something. Blessed Hope Baptist Church has impacted assembly after assembly after assembly after assembly with the ministry of encouragement. One thing I do is I reach out to a lot of preachers. I want to know that they're okay. I want to know that they've got a friend. And that, by the way, folks, it's easy to say amen, but that takes some time. That means part of your pastor's time is on the phone talking to some other preachers. Part of your pastor's time is identifying and finding a struggling pastor or maybe his wife and me and my wife maybe going over and spending an afternoon with him and just caring about him and encouraging him and maybe funnel a little money to him and being a blessing to them. And hey, folks, listen to me. It's not just about us, okay? It's about reaching the entire area, and we need every good Bible preaching church and everybody that's in here. And so we've got to be careful that we don't foster a selfish attitude about that. Number two, Satan will try to stop churches from birthing other churches. And one of the things that's a mystery to me, and I want you to think about this, because you know what? If you're going to believe something, you ought to be consistent in it. Every single missionary that's on the foreign mission field that comes back here and looks at you and says, God sent us there to plant a church and to start a church, and then we're going to train nationals and we're going to start other churches. There's not a person in here that doesn't shake their head and say, hey, man, that's great. Man, and you hear what they're doing? They've not only started a church, they've started five or six other churches. I mean, the Lemmas, we mentioned them tonight. I think Brother Lemmas started four other churches beside the church he's pastoring. And well, all of us would say, hey, man, boy, that's how you do it. Well, why is it that that's how you do it on the mission field, but we can't get that same mentality here? Listen, Brother Beller's in heaven now, but I remember Jim Beller coming and talking to me about this and passionate about church planting, and really was the one to begin to stir my heart about it and get me thinking and praying about it. And he told me, he said this one time, he said, Brother Jerry, he's my friend. He said, Brother Jerry, he said, I think too many of us that have churches our size are waiting for the bigger churches, the mega churches to start churches. And he said, let me tell you something. If churches our size don't start planting churches, we're going to lose this country. And I believe that. I believe that. You know what? Let me just say this. Our goal of going over and restarting and really starting over Victory Baptist Church is not to just start Victory Baptist Church. I like having children, but I love more having grandchildren. How about that? Come on, grandmas, grandpas, all right? Okay, I love them all, but those grandkids. You know what? I already told Brother Gerald, you know what my dream, my goal one of these days is? God bless your church. You get it on its feet. You get to the point where you look beyond your Jerusalem. Wouldn't it be neat if there was a day when Victory Baptist Church started a church? I mean, think about that, folks. Think about that. That's how it's worked throughout the centuries. That's how it's worked. Okay? I mean, you know, somebody asked me once, can Blessed Hope Baptist Church ever run 1,000? And I said, boy, I hope not. I'm losing my mind trying to keep up with 250 people. If they had a better pastor, maybe they could. I don't know. I don't know if my brain could handle that. But I told them this. I said, you know, I really believe this. I'll just tell you. I believe with all my heart, not only should we one day run 400 to 500, but it's a crime if we don't. I'm telling you right now, it's a crime. I'm throwing the gauntlet down. It's a crime if we don't. Because you know what? The only reason that a church our size should not continue to grow up to that number is simply because once we get to this size, you get 70-80% of the church members that just get comfortable and will not get involved themselves in reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, look at me, that's why we've stagnated where we're at right now. Okay, I mean, I don't know how to put any more hours in a week that I'm putting in. And you know what? Everybody's got a responsibility to get involved in this. But you know, I don't know if we could ever run 1,000, but let me tell you this. We could run 300 or 400. We could run 400 or 500. And we could start over maybe, you know, we've started one, get ready to start a second one. Maybe in the next 10, 15 years, start a couple more. Wouldn't it be neat if Blessed Hope Baptist Church in 10 years from now ran 400 people and we had four of the churches we've started that are running 150 or 200 each, guess what? We're running 1,000. And I think that's the mentality we've got to get back to. But besides that, it's not a matter of what we're doing. It's what God's doing. And you know, good night. In rural America, folks, we can only reach out so far with our, I mean, we're running buses as far as we can run them right now. And at some point, there's a line where if we're going to reach past that line, we've got to start a church. And so that's the passion. That's the goal. Thank you, church, for being supportive of this. Satan will try to stop churches from birthing other churches. But preacher, it takes resources. Yes, it does. But preacher, it takes money. Yes, it does. Preacher, it takes time. Yes, it does. But let me tell you this, folks, it's worth it. It's worth it. Every church ought to seek to reproduce itself outside of the boundaries of its own Jerusalem. But if Satan can destroy that in our hearts, destroy a heart for church planting, he'll eventually destroy the church. Let me give you another thought of why he hinders and how he hinders us reaching our Judea. Satan loves to create a spirit of jealousy and criticism between fundamental Bible preaching churches. You know, it's sad, folks, that we're blessed. We've got some sister churches in this area. I'm talking about independent fundamental Baptists. I'm talking about separate. I'm talking about King James Bible. I'm talking about soul winning churches. Now, you know what? They may have a little different flavor than us. And they may be their leadership may be a little bit different. Their pastor may have a little different style. But good night, folks. We ought to be rooting for everybody. Everybody. And I mean that. You ought to have a heart for that. It's sad that we cannot be glad when God is blessing a sister church in the region of our country. We need to remember that churches that preach the same gospel from the same Bible are on the same team that we are. Amen. We had to go out of our way to support some of the special meetings of other churches in the area. Blessed Hope, we're not real good at that. Okay, but we ought to take some time. Preacher, we're busy here, I know, but you know what? Just walking in the door one night of a week-long revival and some sister, I'm not talking about going to a liberal church. I'm not talking about going to a contemporary church. I'm not talking about going to an NIV church. I'm talking about like-minded, independent, fundamental Baptist church. Walk in the door, help their meeting, be an encouragement. Amen. Shake the pastor's hand. We pray for you all the time. Thank God for what you're doing. And you know what? That means a lot. course, these churches should be churches with the right gospel, the right doctrine, the right Bible, and the right music. Amen. Now, what about our Samaria? Okay, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. What about our country? Preacher, good night. We're just a little church here in Jacksonville, Indiana. You're talking about impacting the nation. How do we do that? Or how does the devil try to stop us from doing that? Satan will try to get the church to fail to pray for our nation. Now, let's just start there. Folks, listen to me. You know the biggest way I believe we can impact our nation? It's got to start with prayer. Matter of fact, Jerusalem's got to start with prayer. Judea's got to start with prayer. Samaria's got to start with prayer. Uttermost has to start with prayer. The way that we're going to impact the nation has to be, first of all, by praying for our country. Now, listen to me, folks. Listen, Brother Grissom covered this in Sunday school a little bit, but it talked about Abraham interceding for Israel, for Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, we need to intercede for our nation. God needs to hear his people pray for America. Pray for mercy. And Brother Harding gave us that piece of paper on how to pray for your nation. I'm going to tell you, that's powerful. That's good. If you take the time to do that, I promise you, if you've taken the time to do that, it's changed your life. It's changed your life. Satan will try to get the church to fail to pray for our nation. Satan will try to get a church to view home missionary efforts as less important than foreign missionary efforts. Now, let me just kind of, you know, kill a sacred cow here. Just something that I don't like to say, and I try to not to say it very much. But I never have liked the idea that people want to separate missions into two different areas. I don't like these phrases, home missions and foreign missions. Now, sometimes I use it in order to define something and an explanation, but I'll be honest with you, I really don't like the phrases. So we've got a mindset about, well, home missions and how we treat missionary efforts and church planting efforts in America and how we view them and treat them on the foreign mission field. And folks, listen to me, we ought to be more committed to home missions than we are foreign missions. We lose this country, folks. We lose the country that still sends out more missionaries than any other country. I mean, a lighthouse dies if we lose this country. So folks, don't for years, preachers, pastors would not support home missionary efforts. I mean, somebody call up and say, we're getting ready to start a church in, you know, Philadelphia or Indianapolis, and preacher grumble and growl and, you know, chew the guy out for calling. How dare you expect us? That's your problem, blah, blah, blah. It's crazy. Good night, folks. Listen, go down through our missionary hall, and we're going to increase this and keep increasing it. But if we are not supporting church plant projects, not just in our region, but across America, we're losing it. And we've got to do that. We've got to get a heart to do that. So listen, everything outside that back door is missions. Everything, all right? As soon as you go out that back door, it's all missions. Home missions, foreign missions, I don't care what you call it, it's all missions. And you know what? Like I said, we ought to be more committed and financially committed to support church planting efforts that are within the boundaries of our own country, because America, you know this is true, is becoming a mission field. So we have to have a burden for America. Boy, I love America. I want to just stop, and I don't know how to convey this. I want you to be burdened for America, burdened for your country. Folks, we need to be praying about this upcoming election. This is huge. Brings my third point. Satan will try to get a church and Christians to fail to vote. This is another way he gets us to lose our country. Preacher, it's like a carnival show right now. I know. I understand it. Politics, I mean, it drives me crazy. I get it. But folks, listen to me. We can't just throw our hands up and give up. And you know what? We've got to go. You know what you've got to do? You've got to sort through all the nonsense and all the things the liberal media are trying to give you. And you need to find a presidential candidate that is most in line with biblical principles. And you need to put your support and good night vote. Vote. Okay. And so you got to get involved. We would not have the circus we're now watching if Christians would be going to these primaries and these caucuses right now. We wouldn't have the circus we're having. If every Christian would go and vote and energize themselves and get involved, it would have already been decided who the front leaders are. And man alive, be careful, folks. By the way, I'm just going to look up here. Be careful that you don't get, you know, influenced by a bunch of smoke and mirrors. Be careful that you don't get influenced by some personality. Well, I like the way he says something. What's he think about abortion? What's he think about homosexual marriage? Is he a Christian? Is he a Christian? Check his morals. We better, man, we got to be smarter than this. I just can't believe the one, some of the people that America's getting infatuated. Are you serious? Are you kidding me? I mean, sound bites and one-liners, and that's all it takes, and you're a supporter? Good night. Open your Bible. Use some sense. Look past the surface. Stop letting the media control what you think about everybody. Now, I mean it, folks. We need, and you say, now, let me just share this with you, okay? Watch this. Preacher, you know what? I don't see an independent, fundamental Baptist separatist on the ticket. Neither do I. And nobody's running that is one. But you've still got to get past the stuff and look for somebody who, in the key areas, believe what they believe because of the Word of God and are standing where the Word of God stands. Okay? Well, you've got to do that. The church, but listen, what I'm saying is this. Hey, it's America. Praise the Lord. Go vote. Amen? Go vote. And so be involved in that. Now, folks, listen to me. We've got some responsibilities. You've got to be willing. If we're going to reach our Jerusalem, we've got to be willing. If we're going to impact our Judea, if we're going to impact our country, our Indiana, and our country. Satan will try to get the church to fail to pray for their nation, try to get a church to view home missionary efforts as less important than foreign missionary efforts. Satan will try to get the church to fail to vote. Satan will try to, watch this, I'm going to give it to you again. I need to keep saying this because I'm training a church to think a certain way. Satan will get a church where they become selfish when it comes to their pastor. Now, folks, listen to me. If you'll look at everything I do, you will see everything I do. The primary effort of my life is to impact our Jerusalem. But while I'm doing that, I'm going to impact our Judea. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to try to impact this country. And that means from time to time, you know what? Your pastor's going to slip off, and he's going to try to help and encourage and be a blessing somewhere. And you know what? You ought to say, thank God that I go to a church where people want to hear my pastor outside of his own pulpit. Okay, so just be careful about that. The honest truth is, if you looked at it, I treat that very sacredly. I'm very careful about it. But I'm going to tell you, and I say this from time to time, and you know what? If it hair-lips y'all, it's going to hair-lip y'all. But I didn't surrender. You didn't call me to preach. God called me to preach. And when I was a young man, I told God that if you open up an opportunity, and I know it's you that opened it, and I know it's you that want me to go, you know what? There's no human being in the world that's going to keep me from going. That's between me and God. That's really none of your business. So you just need to support me. You just need to be behind me. You need to say thank God for me. You know, last week, you know what? I got to go up. Brother Murdoch told me afterwards, he said, preacher, he said that was absolutely the best missions conference I think we've ever had in the history of our church, and ignited another church towards missions. You know what, folks? That reward, for those of you that have a good spirit about it, some of that reward goes to your account. Okay, I'm going to be leaving tomorrow, and this is a busy stretch. I usually don't have, but you know what? Seems like that's the way it goes sometimes. I'm leaving tomorrow morning. I'm going to drive to Dubuque, Iowa, and I'm going to preach Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, and we're going to do a family conference. And then I'm going to come back on Thursday, and guess where I'm going to go on Friday? I'm taking my bride, and we're going to go away for about 4 days. All right, okay, all right. Sister Lou, I love you, Sister Lou. Thank you. She came to me this morning and she said, preacher, I read an article this week about this preacher that had worked himself so hard and was going so much that he burned himself out. And she said, I looked at that and thought, that's my preacher. That's my preacher right there. And she said, you've got to take some time. You've got to take care of yourself. And I said, all right, me and my wife are going to take off this weekend. Is that okay? Yes. I'm like, thank you. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Plus, I just like staying married. Amen. So every once in a while, we just take the wife, get her out of craziness, and we go away somewhere and praise the Lord. By the way, nobody in here that's done that with your wife has ever had your preacher fuss at you. I don't think you ought to be gone 26 weekends a year or something crazy, but from time to time, every single one of you be well served to have some little away time. So that's what we're going to do. Okay, so Lord willing, nothing crazy happens, something terrible happens, we'll be right where we need to be. But at the same time, we need those times. And so, folks, it's going to be a busy time. And you know what? Then I'm going to take our young people. And thank God we got the trio of girls that's going to go over and help us with the revival in Effingham. Then our teenagers are coming over on the youth revival day on Saturday, and our teen choir is going to perform and sing and contribute to that meeting. And you know what? I say, preacher, why are you starting to take them? Because I want them to get a vision past their Jerusalem. Amen. Amen. I want them to get a vision past their Jerusalem. And so that's what we do. We're going to do everything we can, as much as we can, to impact our country for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why your preacher takes some time to write. Okay? I've gone to two Bible colleges. I'm going to my third Bible college this year, where they purposely asked me to come to the Bible college to teach and challenge their young men in this matter of writing. I've preached at four different preachers' fellowships where they've asked me to come. And you know what? I'm telling you something. More of our preachers need to write. More of our Christians need to write. You know, we yell at our young preachers for reading after evangelicals, but you know what? If independent fundamental Baptist preachers aren't ever writing, what are they supposed to read? You say, well, why, preacher? Why take the time to do that? Because I am impacting a nation. I'm trying to impact a nation. Burl Murdoch, the son of Pastor Murdoch, who's now 38 years old, him and his wife came to me when I was up there, and they said, preacher, before we made the connection of who you were, both of us during our teenage years had read The Stay in the Castle, made key decisions about that, and credit that book as helping us to keep ourselves right, to find the right one. And you know what, folks? I promise you, listen, I'm not tooting my horn. I'm telling you that story, everywhere I go, somebody comes up and says that. Is that right, Brother Joe? Now, what I'm saying is, guess what, though? You know what? I don't blink twice. Who was it? And then do this, and a book appears, okay? You know how that happens? Work. You know what that happens? Going home of an evening after a hard day, and you know what? Sitting in front of the computer and hammering out another chapter. You know what? It's getting up at 2 or 3 in the morning when I can't sleep and working on a writing project. You say, preacher, why? Because our country is going to the devil. Come on. And you, if y'all can just get comfortable and ignore it like it's not happening, then I don't know how you do it, but God bless you, but I can't. Amen. I can't. And I feel like God has given me and gifted me certain abilities. And I want to take those abilities and I want to use them to maximize an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's nothing about making a name for Jerry Ross. It's all about making a name for Jesus Christ. And folks, listen, I'm sharing that with you because, again, if you look at everything we do around here and everything your pastor takes time to do, plug it in one of these four areas. And you know what? I believe not only can a small town church have a worldwide impact, I think a small town preacher ought to have a worldwide impact. So our Samaria, and then our uttermost. And this is what we spent the month looking at, a church's global responsibility. Boy, I think Brother Grissom said it several times very well. Folks, we can't always go to the uttermost, but boy, we can support people who will. Amen. Satan, how does he fight that? Satan will try to get churches to deprive missionaries of their needed financial support. Sadly, folks, listen to me. Many churches are cutting back on missions giving while increasing their spending on personal luxuries and entertainment. I promise you that that's happening. You know what? Where your treasure is, your heart's going to be. If your heart's into the world, that's where most of your treasures is going. If your heart is for souls, I promise you, that's where your abundance is going. A lot of your abundance is going that way. You know what? If you'll do right and obey and give, your heart will follow your treasure. Okay, and so Satan will try to get the church to deprive missionaries of their needed financial support. Satan has fought to discourage a generation of young people from surrendering their lives to the service of the Lord. The church seems willing to send almost anything to the mission field except their own children or grandchildren. Lukewarm Christian families are producing selfish and carnal Christian young people, none who are the least bit interested in spending their lives in sacrificial service. Not interested. Good night. If I went into the ministry, it'd mean sacrifice. It'd mean not being able to do some things I want to do, maybe not living the way I want to live, doing what I want to do. I might actually have to separate myself from the world and live godly and in order to have it. Now, I'm not interested. I just want to do my thing. Thank you very much. Yeah, and you know what? You didn't think of that. The devil put it in your mind, put it in your heart. If every single young person grew up through the ranks up here, still serving the Lord, living for God, living a separated life, and being involved in ministry, we'd be running 500, 600, 700 at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Hey, you know what? We can talk about them, but what about y'all? Is he going to pick you off too? Okay? Is he going to pick you off too? Are you listening to me? Good night. We need more bus captains around here. We need more Sunday school teachers around here. We need more soul winners around here. I promise you, there's 100 young couples. There's 100 young people that are living right here in this area out of church. That ought to come back as a prodigal, confess their sin of backsliding, and get right with God and get right with this church and rejoin this church and get busy in the work. I'm telling you the truth. And you know what? You say, well, yeah, but you don't know. Yeah, I do know. I know more than all you know. And I'm telling you right now, it's the devil that got them. It's the devil that got them. Satan has fought to discourage a generation of young people from surrendering their lives to the service of the Lord. Preacher, I've already got my life planned out. I'm going to go be this. I'm going to go that. And I'm going to get this educated because I can earn this money and I can drive this car and I can own this. And materialism is more important to you and things are more important to you than souls. I understand not everybody's going to be called into full-time Christian service, but I kind of feel like that more ought to be than are. I think some young people, they're not even considering. They won't consider it. I mean, for an entire month, come on, for an entire month, have you sat there and just kind of, man, I mean, Missions Emphasis Month coming, I got to put up my perimeter. I've got to put up the wall. I mean, the last thing I'm going to let God do is deal with my heart about the possibility of me end up preaching or on the mission field or in evangelism or starting a church one. I'm just going to build the wall. And you know what? God help you. You know, folks, listen to me. We desperately need young people to be tender to this. And you know what? If God doesn't call you into full-time Christian service, you know what? I've often said this. If God hadn't called me to preach, I would have found a man that was called to preach, that had a vision to touch the world. And I'd have went and put myself in that man's church, and I'd have partnered with him, and I'd have done everything I could to help him realize the vision God had given him for that assembly. That's what I'd be doing right now. What else does the devil do? Listen to this. Satan fights character development in our young people. How does the devil keep young people from considering or wanting to get into full-time Christian service? He fights the character development of our young people. Now let me listen to what I'm going to say. I've written this out because I want to say it a certain way. It takes stellar character and conviction to stay on any mission field. To stay on any mission field. You meet a preacher here in the United States. You find out he's been pastoring 30, 35, 40, 45 years. You got to walk over and shake that man's hand. Because I promise you, most men today don't have the character that it takes to stay in the ministry that long. They don't have the character. And you know what, folks? Listen to me. If we don't develop our young people's character, then you know what? We will not have candidates for full-time Christian service. What are you talking about, character, preacher? I'm talking about a work ethic. All right? You know, before you can be a man of God, you have to be a man. Kind of comes before the of God, man of God. And you know what? You know why the devil has eliminated most young males from consideration? Because God's not going to call young boys, immature boys, into the ministry. He's looking for men. You know what men do? Men work. You know what men do? Men don't shirk responsibility. They'll spend their life trying to figure out a way to get out of something. Don't sit around making excuses month after month, year after year about why you don't have a job and why things hadn't worked out and oh my goodness sakes. Yeah. You ever been out without a job, Brother Chad? You ever woke up and just said, man, what am I going to do this week? There is no opportunities out there. I guess I'll just play video games until somebody calls. You don't have a work ethic, God's not going to use you in the ministry. Listen, there's enough lazy preachers. You don't need to call another one. There's enough lazy missionaries. He's not interested in calling that. Come on, this is where we need to get to, parents. This is your responsibility. Listen, we're here to assist you, but you're the primary in this. And if your kids don't have character, you know what? You need to turn that house upside down and inside out. And I mean, have an old-fashioned revival. I mean, throw furniture and chairs and set 16 alarm clocks and get 5-gallon buckets of water and change the character of your young people. Amen. 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 Yeah, come on now. You think they'd be lazy if they lived in my house?
No.
You think they'd backtalk me?
No.
And why do you let them backtalk you? Light them up. Well, they just won't do it. Then take everything out of their room except a mattress. Nah, they don't need a mattress. Give them a blankie. Blankie and a passy.
That's right.
I'm talking about, I mean it. I'm talking about old-fashioned revival time. I'm talking about you ain't not going to lay around this house and be a bum.
Amen.
It is good. Because see, you know, if you don't know how to work, God's not, what's he going to use you for? Why would he call you to do anything? And we've got to work a work ethic. Without a work ethic and a dogged determination to finish what you start. Too many starters, not enough finishers. You start something, don't finish it. That's a character flaw in your life. Asa, why don't you go back and sit by your dad? Just get up right now and go sit by your dad. The mocking during the sermon is going to stop, and I mean it's going to stop now. But you keep him home this week, okay? Because I'm not interested in little boys. I'm interested in taking young men on these meetings. He can stay home. All right? We clear, gentlemen? All right? Now listen to me. Your preacher's up here preaching stuff like that, and you're whispering and smirking and laughing and carrying on. You don't know what being a man is. I've been very gracious for a long time, but I'm tired of it. I am not going to let our youth group parents be put on notice. Our youth group is not going to turn into a bunch of little punks that mock and scorn and make fun. It's not going to happen. Okay, the youth group is for young men. Little boys stay in Master's Club. Are we clear? All right. Okay, amen. How are we going to win this country? A dogged determination to finish what you start. The character to stay for the long haul. Listen, folks, listen. This start and stopping thing. Gerald Clancy texted me the other day and he said, hey, there's a preacher that took a church the same time I took my church and he just switched churches. And I'm not saying God doesn't move people from time to time, but good night. Brother Joe, nobody's staying anymore. I told Gerald when he went over there, I said, son, buy your cemetery plots. I mean, you know how you make an impact? You put your life somewhere. Let's talk about finishing what you start. Amen? Character to stay for the long haul. I mean, without that, we can't get it done. You know what Jesus said? He said this. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, you know what that's talking about? It's the character. That's the level of character needed if you're going to even be a disciple, let alone a preacher. So God says this. I'm going to eliminate right off the bat three character flaws. Okay? Self-denial is an absolute mandatory if you're going to serve the Lord. Okay, that means if you're selfish, don't waste Jesus' time. Now think about this. He said, if any man will fall after me, let him do this. So if they tried to follow after him and they weren't into self-denial, do you think he'd keep them there very long?
No.
Folks, listen. Selfishness is destroying the next crop of potential preachers and full-time Christian workers and ministers and missionaries. It's killing us. Selfishness. You got to learn to deny self. You know what that means, young man, young lady? You know what that means? That means saying no to your stinking flesh. That means sometimes you're going to get up and you're not going to feel like coming to church. You're not going to feel like reading your Bible. So what? I'm so sick and tired of people operating on feelings. That's not what character is. Character is doing right no matter how you feel. I'm going to confess something to you. Listen, I'm going to confess something to you. Watch this. I don't always feel like reading my Bible in the morning. Sometimes I'm just tired. I'm groggy. I mean, two cups of coffee and my brain's still not working. And I can sit there and say, well, I probably won't get anything out of it anyway. You know, just read the Bible. Read it. I don't always feel like praying. I don't always feel like going soul winning. See, you all think that, you know, if I ever felt like going soul winning, I'd go. If I only went when I felt like it, I'd almost never go. I'm just being honest with you. Now, once I go, I always feel like it. But before I go, I never hardly feel like it. You know what? Why I go? Because I have the character to go. Because God told me to go. Okay? All right, self-denial, selfishness. If you let selfishness become a part of your young people's character, then you know what? You've eliminated them for the possibility of God ever using them in any capacity, part-time, layman, full-time. You know what? Selfishness will destroy the chances of that young person ever making an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. Last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own self. That's why it's perilous times. Because you know what? When people begin to love themselves more than they love God and love lost souls, then you know what? We're done. We're done. How about this? Softness. Selfishness and softness. You know what he said? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Okay, preach. The disciple comes to Jesus. All right, I'm willing to deny myself. I'm not going to be selfish. And so I've died to self, and I'm ready to follow you. And Jesus said, okay, pick up that cross. And right away, you know what he insists on? Us being willing to do some hard things. I mean, it's not easy carrying a cross. It's not easy. You know what, folks, listen to me. I'm not whining. I got the greatest job in the world, but the ministry gets heavy. A lot of days, it's heavy. This weekend, it's heavy. If you knew, I can't even tell you, if you knew what I'm dealing with right now, and that's what we do, and trying to help people and people going through things, and good, now we got two of our folks in the hospital struggling with things and other issues, and I mean, sometimes before I come in here, I've got to get the door shut and get on my knees and just try, God, clear my mind enough just to preach. And again, that's fine. It's fine. You know what? Watch this. Look right up here. I don't mind carrying a cross. I've carried it for a long time. There's times when I'm carrying more than one. But you know what? You don't do that and stick with it if you're soft. Man, I'm trying to help us right now. How does the devil keep the church from producing young people that will go into the harvest fields and do the hard things? And that's that we've allowed our young people to be soft. I mean, good night. Work. Do hard things. Do difficult things. Stick with it. All right? Everybody wants to be a victim. Everybody wants to have a problem. There's more hypochondriacs and fundamentalism than any other place in America. You just let that settle in on you. You can always find an excuse not to do. You know what? Good night. The same person that's doing 10 times what you're doing probably has more physical problems than you do. They just don't use it as an excuse. Stay right there a minute. We need to hear this. If you don't want to do something, you'll find a reason not to do it. If you're going to spend your life avoiding the hard things, you'll find a reason, or you know, and then you'll be mad at anybody who don't accept your reason as being uncalloused and unkind and uncompassionate. Well, we need a generation of young people who just learn to do the hard thing. I mean, good night, softness. And then what about this? Stubbornness. He said it. He said to them all, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Follow me. You know what that means? That means you have to learn to be submissive, not stubborn. Young men, you need to start following leadership. Okay? The other day I holler out there and I say, I need you here in 3 minutes. And a couple of you walked in 3 minutes later, and the rest of you goofed around out there, came in 10 minutes late. Let me tell you what that's called, rebellion. That's rebellion. Okay? And Pastor Jerry Ross is not one to put up with it. All right? Parents, you say, was that my kid? Why don't you go home and ask him if you're a kid? Call me, you sit down and make them answer. Okay? Amen. Preacher, we're dealing with some things now. You better believe we are. We're not done either. See, I fought pretty hard the last 2 or 3 years to get our youth group headed in the right direction. I'm not going to let a couple little punks decide they're going to take it over and take it the way they want it to go. That's right. Amen. Amen. Well, we'll leave. Well, you're not the first backslidders that have ever left. Amen. By the way, you might want to check out where their kids are. All right, make some decisions. Well, preacher, you're talking about some pretty tough things. Good night, folk. We're talking about trying to reach the world here. It's not done on beds of ease. It's not done by sitting around making excuses for our children. Listen, carnality's never made a difference. Compromise never made a difference. Softness, selfishness has never made a difference. Good night. You young people know it. I was 16, I was 17, I was 18. I came to an altar. I said, Lord, you know what? I'm going to deny myself. I'm not living for me. I'll do whatever you want me to do, just like I talked about this morning. Some of you look at me like you've never heard that before here. The idea of taking control of the reins of your life and handing it over to God and expect that to be your reasonable service, foreign to some of you, and yet you hear preaching on it all the time. You know what I said? God, whatever I have to do, I have to do. And you know what? I went to Bible college, and man, I carried a cross, and you know what? It wasn't easy, and I thank God it wasn't easy. You know what? Some things are just hard. You can spend your life whining about it, or you can just, you know what, get under it and do it. It's what you do. Anybody in life that's a success knows what I'm talking about. And you just got to carry that cross. And then you know what? You have to be submissive. So young man, if you want to be discipled around here, stop being selfish, stop being soft, and stop being stubborn. And you know what? If you get those sins out of your life, then we can take you a long way and get you busy in the service of the Lord. But if you're selfish, soft, and stubborn, you know what? We can babysit you, but we really can't do much with you when it comes to impacting the world. What are you saying tonight, preacher? I'm saying this. The devil has always sought to hinder worldwide missions. The devil has always sought to hinder worldwide missions. We must remember that the Bible admonition, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, Blessed Hope Baptist Church is a very, very unique church. More than most of you understand. And we are doing some things that are very unique. And you know what? I'm going to fight every day of my life to see that the devil don't steal those things from us. I don't want this church to be the church 10, 15, 20 years ago. People drive by and they look over and say, man, that church used to have a bunch of red and white buses, used to run a bunch of buses. They don't do that anymore. Hey, remember that church when they used to go out knocking on doors and soul winning? Remember that church when they used to send young people out? I mean, right now, folks, 17 of our young people are out there and their spouses in full-time Christian work all over this nation doing something for God. Remember when that church used to produce full-time Christian workers? By the way, remember when that church, the ladies walking out of it used to look like ladies? Men used to have haircuts? Remember when you could go in there and still hear the old-time hymns of the faith? And spiritual, what's standing between our church and what it is, and our church becoming what I just described? Well, for one thing, a stubborn preacher. It's willing to go to war to keep it that way. And by the way, some good-hearted people that say, preacher, that's why I'm here. I'm not here to try to change it. I'm here to try to get involved in it. And you know what? It's really going to boil down, young people, the next generation embracing what I'm talking about tonight. And saying, you know what? Pastor Jerry's getting a little long in the tooth. Look how gray his hair's getting. He probably ain't going to live but a year or two longer. We better get serious about this. Amen. Thank you, young couples. Brother Murdoch said, I think Corey was down here. And he said, boy, Brother Josh, he came back talking to Brother Josh, telling him about all the young couples you got. What's going on in your church? I said, you know what? Thank God for them. Thank God there's some young couples that they could go to any liberal church in this area. They could, if they wanted to, they go find something where it's easier. They'd have to hear about their sin. They don't have to be prodded or put on guilt trips about not doing. They could go there. But you know what? They want to be the next generation that leads this church down the same path it's always been on. But every generation makes a decision. Well, we need some young people that'll get it. Need some young people to get it. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you, dear God. And I pray, Lord, that there'd be something done in our hearts tonight. God, I'm burdened about this. May there be a seriousness, Lord, in this matter, dear God. Reaching the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, if a church our size can't in 1 month hit every door in Jacksonville and every door in Wright County, it pretty much probably ought to tell us the handwriting's on the wall. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. I mean, good night. Knock on a door. I'm from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Here's a card. It's got the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell you how to be a Christian. Tell you how to be saved and go to heaven one day. It's not that hard. Help us to do it, Lord. Help us to get a burden for our Jerusalem, Lord. I mean, get a burden, get eat up with it. Lord, help us to get a burden outside of our Jerusalem. Lord, help us to care about our state, dear God. I believe the devil's targeted Indiana. I mean, it's one of the most conservative, still God-fearing states in the Union. I think the devil's targeted it. I think the devil thinks if we can get Indiana to bend and bow and give, then we can get the whole country. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we just stand rock solid. I don't care what the devil throws at it. We're just going to resist it and fight it back. Lord, I pray that you give us a vision for this country. I sometimes pray over those 17 young people. And I miss them. I miss them. Sometimes when it seems like the harvest is great here and the labors are few, I sometimes think, what would we be doing here if those 17 kids were still here and their spouses? But God, that's not what we do. That's not what we do. We don't hold them back. We encourage them to go. If your hand's in it, and your call's upon them. Lord, I pray, dear God, for our country and our world, dear Lord. Outside the boundaries of the United States, there's people groups. We heard about them all month long. There's countries, there's cities, there's Indian reservations. There's towns of hundreds of thousands, 200,000, 300,000 people, no gospel preaching church. What are we going to do? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? God, may eternity matter more than sin, more than selfishness, more than carnality, more than what the world has to offer. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, Lord, as we fill out these slips, dear Lord, and as we turn them in. I just pray, Lord, that what we would do, dear God, would be a sacrificial thing in your eyes, Lord. It would involve some sacrifice, some faith. Be pleasing to you, Lord. Speak to our hearts now. We pray in Jesus' name.